Trusted Voices is a Cognizant podcast series that aims to showcase the diversity of thoughts, backgrounds, and identity of our 350,000 associates all over the world. Trusted Disruptors is a special mini-series where we ask associates to reflect specifically on what it takes to build trust in the age of AI. Our focus will be on sustainability, transparency, data security, healthcare, global workforce, and more. The dialogue illustrates how we're building trust, especially when we show up diverse. So thank you both so much for joining us today. Welcome to Trusted Voices. And I'd love it if, before we dive into our questions and conversation today, if you could each both just briefly introduce yourself and share a little bit about what you do at Cognizant. Elizabeth, will you kick us off?
Yes, thank you. My name is Elizabeth Sun. I have a background within product and concept development. And in Blue Life, I am part of the strategy and the insights.
My name is Jyotirma Bhardwaj. I'm a data scientist at Cognizant Ocean. And basically, I work with advanced AI and machine learning approaches for different use cases. So I'm working for what it is quite long, and my PhD is also revolved around this.
So thank you both again. And before I actually ask my first question, Elizabeth, could you give us just a sentence for folks who don't know and explain what Blue Life is?
Blue Life is the part of Cognizant Ocean that is evolved around water utilities and water health. So a big area, big complex area that Jyotirma and I are working within.
Okay, so thank you for that. And with that context, can you share a little bit about how Blue Life has really opened doors for both for innovation, which we know is something really important, you know, from a Cognizant perspective, it's part of our DNA, and also, you know, for customer interactions across the clients that you service within Blue Life?
Yeah, absolutely. So the challenges, like I mentioned, they are extremely complex, and that has required us to think very differently to solve them. So we've used the systemic design thinking as our innovation framework, which has allowed us to approach the challenges from a holistic perspective. So what it means is that we knew that we, in order to be able to make a positive impact, we were depending on having a deep understanding of the challenges, not only from an environmental perspective, but also from regulatory and a stakeholder perspective. And we needed to identify the financial levers. So we needed to understand in depth what is currently hindering the improvements and where are our stakeholders and clients pressured with the challenges that they're sitting with specifically today. So through in-depth workshops with the clients, we've done innovation sprints, we have had multiple interviews and field studies and a lot of research, and together with them we have identified the leverage points within those ecosystems. So where can we make the biggest impact with the technologies and the solutions that we have? And then we have co-created solutions. And I believe that that is maybe one of the core catalysts, is this holistic approach and the co-creation of solutions that we have created together with all the partners and specialists that we have interacted with.
So that's great sort of overarching context and kind of really understanding this ecosystem that you're sort of playing in Blue Life. And I wonder, maybe now you can get a little more specific and share what are some of those innovative projects and things that you have been working on recently across Blue Life.
So probably I would just like to rewind history a bit. In general, water quality monitoring has been done like before 50 years. People used to take the water samples out of the water body. They take it into the lab, and then afterwards they do this analysis and try to find that what is the problem, how much water is contaminated. Moving fast forward, then sensors came into the market, and then people started to do these monitoring of water quality using sensors. So now, what was the difference? I mean, in the recent days, it has been quite evolved. The things has been evolved in terms of sensor development. But what hasn't been evolved is the insights from those sensor developments. I repeat again, from insights I do mean is that there, from technical terms, there are a lot of different type of contamination exist in a water body, and it's quite difficult for all the type of sensors to detect every type of contaminant. So in brief, we wanted to improve our understanding that how we can get better insights from the sensor data set. And that's where the AI and ML can significantly be helpful. So now I come back to your question, Pamela, where you talk about the innovative projects we are working on. So basically, we covered a lot of different projects related to Blue Life in recent days. And our focus was basically to cover the sensor, as I explained just before, as well as the satellite data set.
That's fantastic. And I think, you know, I think we are all across Cognizant and probably outside of Cognizant excited about the role that AI and ML can play in really advancing what we can do from a sustainability perspective. And I'm curious from, you know, what measures are needed, though, to ensure that a company or an organization has the type of robust data infrastructure that they need to actually take advantage of AI and ML?
I mean, from the practical experiences, what we observed is that particularly in water ecosystem, we do have a lot of unstructured data set. And one of the prerequisites to integrate AI and ML into is a holistic system is client needs to have some kind of data strategy, which gives this structurization of the data set. So that is one of the things we identify as quite important. And in order to improve this, probably the cloud-based solutions in the recent months can be adapted. And this would be very helpful in order to gain the scalability of the solution as well. So I feel this is important to move towards having a robust infrastructure. At the same time, our state-of-the-art AI approaches can be easily integrated within such AI infrastructure and provide real-time and online insights to the clients.
So taking it to the next step, can you talk a little bit about any examples of promising AI ML innovations that we have actually delivered?
Yes, one of the use cases is we develop a deep learning estimator, which uses the proxy water quality parameters, that is very general water quality parameters, and detect specific contaminants such as orthophosphate. So we feel that this model is able to, is quite fast, cost efficient, and able to replace, able to fasten the estimation process of orthophosphate.
That's terrific. Elizabeth, any other things that you'd like to talk about in terms of innovations?
What Jyotima is pointing out, there are some of the key challenges that we see in catchment management. We have some core water health parameters that are very difficult to identify, and the processes of understanding those excessive nutrients, for example, is a very timely and challenging process, because you often have fragmented data sets which don't provide a full overview. So we don't really understand what's going on with pollution in our rivers or where it comes from. So by using the models that Jyotimoy is explaining, we will be able to better understand, using the satellite imagery, to understand where is it that that the pollution pathways are coming into the rivers, how does it move, where are the most vulnerable points. So I think definitely within catchment management, AI will be able to fill in the gaps of data that will be very expensive should we obtain them using remote sensing sensors on location.
Just taking this a little bit further, I'm going to ask you both to play futurists a little bit and tell me how you see Blue Life transforming in the next couple of years coming up here.
If you ask me, I would say that definitely the better insights from the sensor data, from the satellite data, and by using these insights, the models can provide the better overview of the realistic scenario of the water ecosystem. So definitely, this is very useful, and I think this will considerably save time and improve the efficiency with regards to clients.
And Elizabeth?
Yeah, we know that the water body health is a massive global challenge. It's not a nice to have, but our livelihood is depending on it. We need to improve the systems. They don't work as they are today. And I really believe that, we will be able to scale the solutions on a global level. And ultimately, if we need to be able to measure, monitor, and predict pollution hotspots so that we can make investments efficiently. As today we see that because of the lack of insights into where it actually comes from, there have been numerous investments. Whereas after, when you're monitoring the quality afterwards, you can't see any improvement. And that is because it has happened at the wrong places.
Okay. Yeah.
So we need to make informed decisions. And that, as I see it, a data-driven approach is the most effective way of reaching that. And I think being able to understand, collecting all the numerous layers of data, it will provide us novel insights that haven't been possible before. And me being very concerned actually for the health of our water bodies and how we're leaving the planet for the generations to come, my fear is that we're not fast enough. So I hope with this that we will be able to really make an impact. As I see it, this is our best bet.
Thank you for those wonderful answers. Elizabeth, I know you and I have talked before. I've always enjoyed talking to you. Such a passion for this, which just shines through when you speak. So the question is, knowing what you know about AI, what is the one thing that keeps you up at night?
That's really probably, I would say, that the health of water body and the use case of and how we can get the better insights from the AI, and how we could improve the models so that we have the better holistic view of the health of our ecosystem. I feel this is very important. And as Elizabeth mentioned, we have to be like the situation was not like this 20 years before. Right. But now the situation has been not that good, as we have seen from so many studies. So I guess this is something we should do as soon as possible in order to have a sustainable and living conditions of our planet.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I will add that it's a very difficult question. There's a lot of things with water body health that keeps me up at night. But I think insights that machine learning and AI can provide is crucial, but it's also the second component, and that is how do you transform that into action? Because solving these challenges will require a collaboration across numerous stakeholders and regulatory bodies. So I think how we can enable that is definitely something that I keep, that never leaves my mind, I would say, not awake or asleep.
This is interesting because these are all uncharted waters, right? This is so much innovation and it's so new. So let's look at the flip side of that. What is something that really excites you about this work that you're doing in AI looking forward, considering how new everything is?
I think it's very exciting because every day when we develop a model, we try to hope that we will see the results, and we hope to estimate either water quality, or we always hope that the analysis of satellite images will provide us, you know, the insights that what is happening into the ecosystem, or how the water health of the water is changing over a period of time. So by analyzing all these things is very exciting. At the same time, it's I think it's very valuable because it prepares us for taking better actions to prevent happening those instances. So I think identifying the training the model and seeing the results out of it is very exciting.
Fabulous. And Elizabeth, for you?
Well, I believe even though it's terrifying because we know so much more now, I think we're living in the most exciting of times. Never have the technology been ready for creating the solutions that we will be able to create now across the industry, and the transparency and the evidence that we can create now, I think that's the perfect foundation for actually establishing the cross collaborations that we are depending on. So I think that's really exciting. It gives me hope.
I think it gives us all hope. And on that note, thank you so much, both of you, for joining us, for the amazing work that you are doing.